like Ramona. Listen back to every single hour of Road Rage at theroarfm.com or on the Roar app. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're back. Ramona Brooke writes, $140 hooker is going to be nasty. I can't disagree with that. It's sort of true, Ramona. Diseases are us.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's another thing. I added Dexter Zed basically just for the thrill of doing it.
Is it thrilling now, going to jail and getting your mugshot and having everybody know your personal business?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
oh,
can you
wow,
imagine?
That's exciting.
It's like you said, though, the police and the people involved in this thing, you know, they're looking for Joe Average.
Yeah, they're just trying to clean up this whole hooker thing, right?
They're not thinking they're about to land the $8.7 billion guy.
Yeah.
They're thinking he fishes in a different pond.
I mean, and there are a bunch of
the
women.
Stock might, trout pond.
A bunch of women might be after his money that he could use.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Go get yourself a gold digger.
Yeah.
You know, just for those occasions.
I mean, come on. It just seems crazy.
Dex said 140 is a double bagger. Dex said certainly not defending it, but that's what it is. Oh, he's talking about the Rush. He was the one writing that was for the Rush. Yeah, maybe. Melissa says the $140 hooker cost him $4 billion. He might be right. She might be right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a really good point, Melissa. That's the best text I've seen on it.
That's right.
That's true. The $140 hooker cost him $4
billion.
Yep. I could see that. That's,
yeah, she's right.
Again, Texter says, doesn't he have people for that? Exactly. Aren't there like secretaries? You know, aren't there like...
Anybody that would want... be after his money.
Oh, the secretaries are going to be pissed at me now for saying that.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's true. That texter's 100% right. These just go on and on and on, Ramona. Texter says one doesn't become a billionaire by purchasing hookers at full price.
So he's going for the bargain.
Maybe. 81 says, isn't there a legal brothel in Vegas? Yeah, you know, could have done that too. I got a bunch of Wes Whitner texts, Ramona. Text said, I just hit Wes Whitner. Text said, I just hit Wes Whitner. And I've got other Wes Whitners here too. Texter said, billionaire trolling Wes Whitner for some love. That's from Travis. Exactly. Text said, Kraft at the Florida massage parlor. Exactly. It's the same type of situation.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, I didn't. But, it's the same exact type of situation, except this is probably worse. Don't you think this is worse? I mean, the massage parlor, you know, technically you can try and say, well, it's actually a massage parlor. But
did he get found out? Did the cops try to raid the massage parlor and that's how he got found out?
I think that's what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that's what happened.
Yeah, see, so the cops will get you eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think 376 saying, doesn't he have people for that? Is exactly right. Doesn't he have people for that? And then Melissa is 100% right. $140 hooker that's actually going to cost him $4 billion. Because it might. It really might. I mean, if you're the wife... and your billionaire husband just got caught for buying a $140 hooker off an internet.
Oh, how embarrassing. She's not going to like that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of embarrassing, Ted said it's only $40 for a shot of penicillin.
Well, that's gross.
There are things penicillin does not cure. Did you see...
Yeah.
This is unrelated. Did you see what happened in Tennessee at that hospital?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. This is a $28 billion a year hospital venture. They have 90 locations in this particular hospital. $28 billion they made last year. With a B, $28
billion. Wow.
You know how much they're going to make this year?
What?
Zero.
Why?
Four patients went in for knee replacement surgery.
Uh-huh.
So these are probably people who are starting to get a little older, having some mobility issues, want to have their knee done, regain some of their mobility. Four people went in for knee replacement surgery to this hospital, and they injected potassium chloride into their spines for the numbing procedure. That was the wrong injection.
They
paralyzed all four patients.
Oh my God.
Paralyzed. These people are never going to walk again.
Oh my God.
And in all likelihood, like I said, these are probably older people too. So looking to regain some mobility later in life, instead, all the mobility that they had left is now all gone. And they're going to face their advancing ages without the ability to walk.
Was it the same guy like in charge of the injections? And
the hospital is saying, the woman in charge is saying that that they're sorry and that they're going to take precautions in the future so that this doesn't happen. That's going to help the people that you just did this to.
Oh God!
I can't even imagine. This is like unthinkable. It's like impossible, and there's just no way. If this is somebody you cared about or anything else, I mean, it's one of the worst things I have ever heard.
That sounds terrible.
You're the family members, you know, you're the individuals. Again, this was for simple knee replacement surgery, which is a simple procedure.
Anytime you go in for something simple, you shouldn't have to worry like that about something weird happening to you.
And they're blaming the pharmacy and saying that the pharmacy made the mistake as part of it. Again, I guess it's a hospital pharmacy. I'm not.
Well, even so, I mean, whoever's picking it up to use it, they don't know what they're using.
It's everybody all the way down the line. It's an absolute cluster blank.
That's terrible.
And four different people have basically had their lives ruined. And like I said, these are probably, I don't know this for a fact, because younger people can get this too. You know, you have arthritis, osteoarthritis, whatever. But in general, these are probably going to be people who are like 60 years old, you know, and just in general,
who have
suffered long enough and have decided they wanted to undergo knee replacement surgery and to regain some mobility later in their lives. And instead, not only are they not going to have that, they're going to have the exact opposite of that. And now they're going to become a ward of their family or the state or whatever. I have no idea. But I know this. Enjoy that $28 billion that you've been raking in every year, because this year you're not raking in a penny, because all that money is going to those families. These lawsuits are going to be astronomical. They may be unparalleled in legal history. I have no idea. I have no idea. But like I retweeted this information on social media. This is one of the worst things I've ever heard. I mean,
that's just terrible.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine if you're those people, you know, the individuals themselves. You go in for knee replacement surgery and you wake up to the fact that you are paralyzed. You know, and. Well, not even wake up, because you're not put under.
I don't understand if they're working on your knee, why they would put that in your spine.
It's for the numbing. It's to numb. It's considered safer for older people than putting you to sleep, because as you age, the danger with being put to sleep increases. So, like I said, I've heard some bad things, and I know that bad things can happen, and we're dealing with human beings, but I can't imagine the families of those people who thought that this was going to give their, you know, their loved one back their mobility and stuff. Instead, now their loved one is going to have no mobility for the incredibly difficult remaining part of their lives.
Where are these hospitals?
Tennessee. That's where this occurred. But they have Tennessee. 90. I think this outfit has 90 hospitals. I believe they may be all over the country. I'm not 100% sure of that. Dexter said, and you wonder why I hate having any procedures. Right. I mean, just like absolutely unthinkable. Sprinter 412 says, should have had a fall guy. Yeah, I guess so. That's on the whole DeBartolo family thing. Scott, how are you, Scott? Yep. Good to have you.
Walter, that would become the Scott of Greenville National Hospital.
Right.
If it happened to my family.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Is there
right.
enough money in the world, though? Is there enough money? They don't have enough money to pay these families.
No. I mean, the lawsuits are going to be unbelievable. They're going to sue every element, the ridiculous things the hospital has said, even in the wake of this. I don't think they're going to help their case, but, and it's big of them that they're going to institute policy to help prevent this in the future. That's really helpful to the four people you allegedly just paralyzed. When I saw this, I was like, oh no, you please. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine for the individuals themselves. I can't imagine for the families of those individuals and the challenges they're going to face moving forward. And if those people even want to live the rest of their lives now, which they may not want to.
Depends on their situation. I don't know, but it ain't enough money in the world.
Hey, Walt, I call you when we're good and I call you when we're bad. I haven't got to call you in a few days, but I think the Phillies won the East on Sunday. Well, that comeback win against the Cardinals. Looking at the Braves schedule, man, we got the Dodgers tonight. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to win that. Looking at it from September 4th to the 25th, it is brutal.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 with the Phillies is going to determine it, I think. But even if you go 5-5 or 6-4 in that, the rest of your schedule is just – I just don't think we can catch them now. I think that's it. We still got to play them, but, man –
Yeah, the Braves have not been good since the All-Star break and are not playing good baseball right now, obviously. The Braves are 3-7 in their last 10. They're at 76-55. The Phillies are 9-1 in their last 10 and have moved up to 73-59. So just three and a half games back. I was even looking at the wild card situation to be sure that Atlanta was covered there, and I think they are. I think the Braves, at the very least, will get a wild card spot if the sort of seeming collapse continues. But the Brewers are hot. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They have the best record. They're 81-50. The Dodgers are one game behind the Brewers. They're also 7-3, so they've turned it around a little bit. Again, the Braves 76.
They've won 6 in a row.
Yeah, the Braves 76-55 and 3-7 in their last 10. And then the Cubs are playing pretty good baseball. They're 5-5 though in their last 10, but they're 76-56. So the Cubs are only a half a game behind the Braves if you're starting to look at other wild card scenarios. We already talked about the Phillies. But with three wild cards, the next best records in the NL are the Padres at 71-61. So they're still, you know, five games plus behind the Braves. And then Arizona at 69-63, and they would be like, you know, seven games or something behind the Braves. So I think regardless, the Braves are in the playoffs. The question is, what kind of baseball are you playing when it matters most, and how will you be playing down the stretch? Obviously, the Braves got to get this thing going because they're not playing well right now.
I don't think we can afford to go 500 down the stretch, and I think we're going to have a losing record.
Wow.
Good. We play the Astros is the worst team, I think. We play the Marlins, but the Marlins beat the Braves every time we play them.
Yeah.
And the Astros are the worst team that we play, I think, outside of that. And they're, what, one game above 500 or something? I know they're winning their division, but still. I just don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not as confident as I was when I was calling you in May with the countdown, you know, in June and all that. But, hey, dude, we'll see what happens. But what's your thoughts on this with the Dodgers? Did we get swept again?
I don't think the Braves will get swept. I would be really disappointed if you get swept. I'm always a little worried about Elder taking the hill because I'm just not a historical believer in Elder. We'll see. You need to get off to a good start, and that's the guy who's starting this series. So we'll see.
Right. Hey, before I get up, one quick question about this whole NCAA thing. If the conferences say they won't let these kids play, but can they really do anything, Walt?
Yeah, I mean, I think based on what we saw with the Big 12 and Texas Tech, I think the conferences basically have all the power to make their own rules and laws. Now Lane Kiffin is publicly basically saying they don't, and so we have a little battle line being drawn in the SEC with Kiffin going to war with his own league right now. So we'll see how that plays out.
It'll be interesting.
Yep.
See you all.
Thank you, Scott. Good talking to you as always. Glad your wife is doing well. Thank you, Scott. All right, we'll take a break here. You can get in if you want. 654-7627. 654-7627.
The countdown is on. 11 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Randall, right-hand side of Clubman. Third and two at the Boston College 8 handoff.
You should face disqualification or a $1 million fine if either player plays. Something has to be done. This is the worst I've ever seen. That's a quote from an alleged SEC AD that you can't have it. Now, I don't know who the AD is. Again, I'm not entitled to watch this article, to read this article unless I pay for it, apparently. But, you know, would a $1 million fine stop LSU's conduct? I don't know. Disqualification would. I don't know about a $1 million fine. Money doesn't seem to be much of an object to him. Dre, good to have you, Dre.
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing?
Good, there, Dre. Bro? Appreciate you getting in. Thank you.
Hey, you mentioned, you were just speaking about the Lane Kiffin thing. I had a quick question for you, bro, because, like, I've been trying to assess Lane Kiffin, and I know he's part of the Saban coaching tree. I mean, and I understand every coach is going to have their problems or their things about them when they go off and run their own programs. I mean, but for the most part, when you take a look around at other guys who are head coaches who came from under Saban, like Kirby, like it's still some resemblance of a Nick Saban style football team somewhere in there with the way they prepare themselves or just, you know, when it comes to football, how they're just about business.
Yeah.
When I look at Lane Kiffin's teams, I don't see any remnants of anything associated with Nick Saban. Where does he get this from? Has he just
I don't know.
I'm gonna do what I want to do, or like
yeah, it's a good point, Dre. I mean, and not only that, but he doesn't have any remnants of his dad either. You know, Monty Kiffin, who was a great coach in the National Football League. So
Didn't he spend some time under Pete Carroll as well?
Yeah. I mean, he spent time with bright guys. And again, look, from a football acumen standpoint, he's a bright offensive mind. I don't question that. I question his in-game tinkering, which is terrible. And then I question just his attitude about everything. I mean, I don't know. He seems to have, like, to me, he just seems to have, like, no football morals at all. Like, none. I don't know. Maybe he's built for this time period. I mean, I guess you could argue that.
I mean, I hate to say it like this, but hopefully if, you know, things shape out and things go the way it's looking, to me, I'm going to leave it at this. It looks like it's going to be Dabo in the old guard versus Lane Kiffin in the new guard. I'll take your comments on that off the air.
Yeah. Thank you, Dre. Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's exactly what it looks like. It's sort of Again, it's like a wrestling match shapes up sort of good versus evil. There's that element to it. Craig, how are you, Craig?
Don't walk. Let me tell you. Just give me a few seconds. I've had the strangest 2.5 days for me in a lot of ways. Saturday, my house gets hit by lightning. All right? Those things happen. You got to deal with it. Okay? The hitting by lightning is better than what the next conversation is. My daughter comes over Sunday. She gets engaged. I know the kid. He's a great kid. She gets engaged. But guess what the problem is?
I have
He's
no...
He's a Clemson graduate. And now my wife thinks we're going to be... Now Liz thinks we're going to be Clemson fans. She's already ordered Clemson gear to wear.
There you
go. Oh, my God. So
there
apparently I have to be... From now on, Clemson fans, I got to be a fan. So walking me aboard with kindness, like I've always shown you people, okay?
Yeah.
Let's be kind to the new guy. I'm the new guy. Be kind. And actually, I hate to say this, I'm getting on board at the right time because you guys are going to stink like the Jets. Anyway, have a good evening.
Craig, are you still there? I wanted to know about the hit by lightning thing. You know.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, how exactly does that happen? I mean, I know I see these images like occasionally these houses get hit by lightning, but I don't know. I don't know much about that in terms of how or why it happens. Is it something specific? I had lightning come in my home one time and there was this giant like flash inside and all of the electronic equipment was shot, ruined. I hear these stories about, and we obviously have horrific lightning here, but I don't know all the ins and outs of that. All right, Ramona, I want to take a look at, we're not going to get too far with this today, I don't think, but I want you to, you have my rankings, my preseason rankings.
Yeah, huh?
All right, I want to take a look at that and compare it to the AP poll. And let's start at the bottom. And
do you want the close but no cigar?
Yeah, and then I'll give you their close but no cigar. There's our others receiving votes. Okay. In fact, let me give you that first.
Okay.
Their others receiving votes are Clemson 112, Florida 51, Boise State 43. I'll just tell you that Clemson and Boise State both made mine. Arizona 32, as did Arizona. TCU 11, Navy 10, South Carolina 10, Illinois 9, Oklahoma State 8, Vandy 8, Pittsburgh 7, Virginia Tech 6, Minnesota 5, I ranked them, UNLV 4, New Mexico 4, Georgia Tech 4, James Madison 3, Auburn 3, Memphis 2, California 2, Liberty 1, Western Michigan 1, Tulane 1, Virginia 1. Obviously, they list more than I did in that category.
Right. Okay, your close but no cigar is Michigan, Boise State, Hawaii, South Carolina, Air Force, Virginia Tech, and Utah.
Can you read that one more time?
Michigan, Boise State, Hawaii.
Oh, I thought I ranked Boise State. I did not.
No.
I actually meant to rank them because they're gonna be my non P4 team. I thought I ranked them. All right.
Okay, your top 25. Are you gonna talk? You're 25 Alabama.
No. I want you to. I stopped you at Boise State, so continue.
Hawaii, South Carolina, Air Force, Virginia Tech, and Utah.
Okay. All right, on the top 25, at 25, the AP ranked Missouri. I did not have Missouri in part because I was unsure about Ahmad Hardy. I'm still unsure about Ahmad Hardy. I'm starting to think he's not playing. I know what Drinkwitz is saying. I know what Missouri's saying. I'm just not so sure he's playing. I don't think it looks real good. for Ahmaud Hardy right now, in terms of what I recently read. So I'm sort of anticipating that he's not playing.
Okay, your number 25 is Alabama.
Yeah, again, I feel pretty good about this. Russell, no Russell. And I think Russell's talented. I thought Russell would be the starting quarterback. But having said that, I just don't believe in this football team. I said before last year, they couldn't run the football. They were 125th in the nation rushing. And I think, as I've said already, I think they're going to be that bad again, maybe worse. They're going to be in that same area. So I just think they're like a 7-5 team. I ranked them because, I mean, it's actually against my better judgment to even rank them, but I did.
Okay, your 24 is Iowa.
They have Iowa at 22. They have Louisville at 24. It's sort of hard to do back and forth, but we're going to go position by position without talking about where we have people other than those two spots, right? So so they have Louisville at 24, and I have who?
You have Iowa.
Yeah. Again, this is the range Iowa's always going to be in. They're always like a 9-3 type team. All right, we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 2.
Got bit by Copperhead Sunday. And is doing well. She made it.
Good.
Gave her a Benadryl. She made it. When I came home from work today, she met me at the door. She's doing good. So, you know, maybe some of these college teams can use some of that toughness.
Yeah, how about that? So no anti-venin or anything, just
No. She got bit about 5:30 Sunday. I gave her a Benadryl. She laid behind the couch, kind of nipped at everybody, messed with her, and she's doing good today. So I'm very surprised. She's 12 years old. That's pretty crazy.
Did you see the snake bite?
The snake is deceased.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you saw it.
I don't like to do that. I usually don't get it. But yeah, for real. But hey, I saw that the Mizzou Hardy, he is already out for the season opener. So I think the best Mizzou's going to do is 7-5, 6-6. Not much of a team without Hardy. He's already out for, you know, 3 weeks. I'd be surprised if he plays this season, Walt. I called the other day, but it's not looking good.
I don't think it is either. I'm just based on what I've heard and what I've read. I'm thinking he's not playing. He's too far behind, quite honestly. I mean, he hasn't been able to run. He hasn't been able to do anything. So I don't see how he'd be in football shape anyway. I think Jamal Roberts is going to wind up being the featured back. He's a pretty good player. So, you know,
great player, but he's not Hardy. And,
but they're going to, they're going to need him to step up.
Yeah, I have a friend to an Independence, and it's not looking good, but I'm still a Mizzou fan.
Yeah.
And the last thing is the Detroit Lions. I think they're going to improve. They lost a lot of close games. I think with the new OC, they'll improve. I think the Bears, I read the Four Letter Network article, but even without them, I think they're kind of a fraud. They're going to go back. I think Detroit may be the favorite to win the division, Walt. I really do.
Cade Mays injury? What are they saying about that? How long is he going to be out?
Yeah, it's not looking great, but that could be a factor. I think that he'll be out through the rest of the preseason first, but I still think that Detroit will be okay. I think last year we missed the playoffs. I think we'll may not win the division, but be in the playoffs. But Walt, love listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna hang up. Have a good
one. Thank you, Lumby. Appreciate the kind words. You want to get in 654-7627. All right, everyone, I want to jump right back to where we were.
Okay.
And we're going over the AP poll compared to the Road Rage rankings. All right, at number 23, they have Houston.
You have Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland, one of my long shot plays, again, based on Malik Washington. Now, Maryland lost probably their best edge rusher for the season after we did this, probably like a week ago, which is not good news. But I still actually believe in this team, and I think the schedule's favorable.
Okay.
Number 22, that's where we're at, 22?
Yes.
22, they have Iowa.
And you have Clemson.
And again, they have Clemson, others receiving votes. And I've already, you know, we've gone over Clemson a million times in terms of how I see it. So I'll leave that for now. 21, they have Utah. I did not include Utah. I put Utah in my close but no cigar category.
For 21, you have Houston.
Okay. So they had Houston at 23. So I'm in the pretty close. Much the exact same area on that spot. 20, they have Tennessee.
20, you have Penn State.
You know, I'm not sure I get the Tennessee love. I do think they have a favorable schedule. I didn't rank them last year. People ranked them last year. They are like 15. I didn't understand it then. And I don't really understand this now. I know they have a favorable schedule. I don't get ranking Tennessee. Like, for example, I don't get why you'd rank Tennessee and put Clemson and others receiving votes. It doesn't make sense to me, logically. Sort of silliness, I think. But again, I think by SEC standards, I think their schedule is favorable. We might take a look at that before we get out of here. We'll see. So they have Tennessee at 20, and who did I have?
You have Penn State.
Yeah, again, I think this is the range Penn State is, and I think they're a 9-3 team because their schedule is really cozy, really convenient for Matt Campbell, who's basically transported his whole team from Iowa State to Happy Valley. Number 19, they have SMU.
You have Washington.
Yeah, look, I believe in the quarterback, Williams. I believe in the coaching. I think Washington is going to be a factor this year. I think their schedule is also doable, workable, good enough. I think it's going to be a good football team. It'll surprise people. It might be a 9-1 type team. At the minimum, 8. All right. We are at 18. 18, they have Penn State, which we've already had at 20.
18, you have Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota, they put in others receiving votes. I'm high on Minnesota. I think Drake Lindsey is a future round one quarterback. I think they have two talented running backs. I'm high on Minnesota, just in general. 17, oh, this is where they have Washington. So just a couple spots difference here. They have Washington at 17.
17, you have SMU.
Okay, and they had SMU at 19. So again, just a couple spots difference. I think that I think SMU is going to be a quality football team. You have a leader in Jennings who's a really talented college quarterback who does a lot of really productive things. I think Lashley, you have one of the best young coaches in America. Honestly, to me, if I had an opening and there was a guy a spot I need to fill, I would go after Rhett Lashley. Now, I don't know if you can match SMU's money, but I would go after Rhett Lashley. That's what I would do. All right. Number 16, they have Michigan.
Number 16, you have Arizona.
Yeah, they didn't rank Arizona. They had them in others receiving votes. I didn't rank Michigan. I still think Michigan has issues. I think they'd be better, but I also think the schedule is relatively tough. I don't like some of the things I've heard about Underwood this offseason, so we'll see. But I did not rank Michigan, and we'll see how that plays out. And again, who did I have here?
For 16, you have Arizona.
Yeah, again, I like Fafita. I like this Arizona team. The only thing I don't like about them is their three toughest games are all on the road. I don't like that. And they drew all the toughest teams. That's my problem with Arizona. All right. I was going to say they don't have a 15. They have a tie at 14. So I'm just going to say I'm just going to say one of them's at 15. Okay. So I'm going to say they have USC at 15.
Okay, at 15 you have Louisville.
Yeah, I'm high on Louisville. I think they have the best running back room in America. Brown and Brown are going to be a big time problem, so I'm high on Louisville. 14, they have BYU.
14, you have LSU.
Yeah, I couldn't really remember where I put LSU, but 14 seems about right. I don't think they're quite a playoff team, but we'll see how the year unfolds for them. 13, they have Alabama, which I think is way too high.
13, you have Texas A&M.
Yeah, again, I like A&M. I like Elko. I like Craver. I think you've got a talented college quarterback with a talented receiver, and I think they have a talented running back. I don't know about the offensive line. I want to see what that unit looks like. Can they run the ball effectively? Because Elko's going to want to do that. We shall see. All right, and then we get into what would be playoff range, I guess.
Uh-oh.
And at 12, they have Texas Tech.
Okay, at 12, you have USC.
Yeah, look, I've said this all along. I think this is actually the year for USC. I think this is by far the best team that Lincoln Riley has had. I think you have two elite running backs, which is something he has not had, and both potentially 1,000-yard type guys. And you have a quarterback who I think is a Heisman contender. I think this is the best team he had. I also think it's the most difficult schedule they've had. Again, I think they have a six-game schedule that might be the nation's most difficult. And if they don't wind up making the playoffs, that's going to be why. To make the playoffs, they're going to have to win every other game, and they're going to have to beat one of the big three. In other words, they're going to have to beat Ohio State, Indiana, or Oregon. That's the only way they're getting to the playoff. That's a tough situation to be in. 11, they have LSU. I did not include LSU as a playoff team.
Okay, at 11, you have BYU.
Yeah, I think BYU is the second-best team in the Big 12, and I think they're really dangerous. I think that the combination of L.J. Martin and Bachmeyer in the backfield, I think is going to pose people real issues. 10, they have Oklahoma.
At 10, you have Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm still high on Ole Miss. I think when you have Chambliss and Lacey in the backfield, quarterback and running back, that's probably the best combo that any team in America has. So I'm pretty high on them. Number 9, they have Ole Miss, which we just had.
Yeah, number 9, you have Texas Tech.
Yeah, again, one of the best running back rooms in America, a really talented roster. I think the quarterback is going to be fine. I saw some speculation that they might add Castellanos. He would be the backup there. He would not be the starter unless, you know, you still have an injury recovery issue there. Other than that, I don't see him as a starter. We'll have to get back to this tomorrow. We'll have a lot more college football conversation on the program tomorrow. I'll see you then. Waltip Tula, Road Rage.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
In your program, you'll be eligible to take the NCLEX RN exam.